Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do things in your life ever feel like they're out of control? Does it sometimes seem impossible to balance all of the things that you have to do? And in the midst of the chaos, does it sometimes feel like you will never be able to pull it all together? It is true. It sometimes feels as though things are out of control. We check out the news on our favorite social media feeds, and it appears that no matter what you're looking at, they look bad. Things look bad. Then you look at your to-do list, and it keeps getting bigger, even though you seem to be getting less and less of it done. If we get a moment in our day, if we finally get a free moment in our day, it seems like those moments get filled with more drama as we look at all of the crazy stuff going on in the lives of our social media friends. Life is crazy. And it does appear sometimes as though the whole world has gone mad. Today, we look forward to the last day. What do I mean by that? Well, today is the last Sunday of the church year. That means we look forward to the day when Jesus returns. Last week we heard how that when Jesus' return gets closer, it will appear as though everything is completely out of control. But we heard these encouraging words mixed in with that seemingly out of control message, situation. We heard these words from Jesus. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. St. Paul puts the same idea in other words in his letter to the Colossians. He wrote to those who were buried and raised with Jesus in baptizing, he wrote these words: "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." In other words, in the midst of all of the chaos, set your hearts on Jesus. He is your hope. Jesus does not feel as though things are out of control. Jesus is not afraid of the situation that's scaring you. Jesus is not looking at your never-ending to-do list and saying, "Boy, I have no idea how you're going to make it out of this one." He is not watching you and saying, "Is someone going to do something about this mess?" No. Jesus is saving souls. He is bringing people into his kingdom through baptism, through preaching, through his supper. Jesus has redeemed the entire world by his death and resurrection. There is not a sin that hasn't been paid for on that cross. And he is pulling people out of this chaotic, dying world through the means of grace. He is even using the chaos in this world to show us you can't handle it on your own. He shows us that we need something that we can't find in this world. In this world that is perishing because of our sin, we need the sinless one who overcame death, the one who saves by his death and resurrection. On the last Sunday of the church year, it's kind of funny. how in our lectionary on this last Sunday, it has us looking back instead of looking forward. Instead of reading the text of Jesus' final judgment, we read the text that explains how our sin was paid for. We read the text that shows us how we have peace with God through the blood of His Son's cross. We look back to Jesus' death that takes away our sin and shame. We look to His death that allows us to stand on Judgment Day. In our baptism, Jesus unites us with the saving work that He accomplished with that death. There's another thing that is striking. When you compare the week that Jesus died for the sins of the world, and when you compare how the Bible describes the last times when Jesus returns in glory, there's a striking similarity. The week that Jesus died was complete chaos from start to finish. The days that we are living in, our own personal lives, they seem to be filled sometimes with the same sort of chaos. Now, at the beginning of the week that Jesus died, crowds couldn't stop celebrating as they marveled at what could be accomplished with Jesus as their earthly king. He can feed 5,000 in one spot with five fishes and three loaves, or three fishes and five loaves, I can't remember. He does this. Imagine, we won't have to have hardly any supplies carried for our armies. We just need enough for one person and He can multiply it for us. They were so excited. But as Jesus taught during that week, people began to see he didn't even have plans of raising an army. And people began to see that the religious leaders who continued to oppose Jesus throughout this week, they were beginning to make a lot more sense. And by the time you get to our text, we see a sleepless night with Jesus sweating drops of blood. There was betrayal. You see a sword fight in the dark garden. You see desertion as disciples go running off. You see mocking, you see spitting, and you see the slapping of God's face. There was mourning, and there was even a suicide from the ranks of Jesus' closest followers. And in our text, they followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. Everything seemed like it was completely out of control. No one could assess how we went from such great joy at the beginning of the week to such crazy madness on that Thursday night, Friday morning. Everyone saw things as out of control. Except for God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but for yourselves, for your children." And Jesus came into the midst of our chaos, and He came to save us. We don't have to feel sorry for Jesus. No one was taking anything from Him. At a moment's notice, He could have called down legions upon legions of angels to rescue Him and to give us what we deserved. But Jesus, He doesn't need rescuing. He came He died, he rose, and is still here in word and sacrament because we need rescuing. He tells those women to think of the ones who need savings. Think of yourselves, your children, and all of us. And that is exactly what Jesus came to do. He continued to think of others in the midst of chaos. He was like a soldier looking for fallen friends as his own life stood at risk. Two other men who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His love caused him to pray for others in what we would assess as his darkest moment. But he was at this moment precisely because of his love for the world. As God the Son's heart pumped the blood of God through the veins of Jesus, God's love began to flow out of a thorn-crowned head. God's love began to flow out of nail-pierced hands and feet. God's love was flowing for you. Mary, his mother, cried and held on to John, who was crying as well. Things seemed to be completely out of control. But Jesus, his Father, and the Holy Spirit were in complete control. The devil raged and the devil wailed. The devil berated God through the lips of mankind. The devil delivered his mightiest blows through the men who drove the nails into God's flesh. But only God knew that the result of those blows would be the redemption of the world. Only God knew that it would take the blood of Jesus' cross to bring peace to this dying world. The first recipient of this peace that Jesus came to bring was the man who is hanging right next to him. Remember, there were two criminals dying with Jesus. One of the criminals who were hanged, they railed at him saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Even in this man's last breath, you can see that he saw salvation as grabbing onto something in this perishing world. His hope was set in this world, even as this world for him was spinning out of control. Do we ever do that? Set our hopes on things that are perishing? That's what that man did. But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God? You're under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man, he has done nothing wrong." And then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." In the midst of this chaos, the second man, what did he do? He took his eyes off the things of the perishing world and he lifted his head and set his eyes on the things that are above. He set his eyes on Jesus. And his confession was a lot like our confession when we confess that we are sinners that deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And his hope, it was a lot like our hope when we say, "But I pray you, because of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of Jesus. Have mercy on me. We seek rescue from this chaotic and dying world through the one who is right here next to us. Notice that the dying man didn't have to ascend to heaven in order for God to hear his prayer. This man was hanging on a cursed cross because of sins that he actually did. He could only turn to his side. Because guess what? God was right there with him. God does not desert us in his greatest need. He doesn't say, things are getting bad. I'll see you in heaven if you make it. No. In the midst of our greatest fears and doubts, we are not alone, for Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So when things feel out of control in your life, I want you to know that things are not out of his control. Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has transferred us into his kingdom, the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. We have received the peace that was earned by the blood of that cross. And I pray that as we walk in his peace, I pray that the Spirit would use you, that he would use me to point others to Jesus for the same eternal peace that can only be found in the blood of his cross. And now may that peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until he returns on that last day for you. Amen.